Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Fiction. Science fiction. Horror. Fantasy. Crime. LGBT. Thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery. With your host, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBQ 106.5 FM, Los Angeles,
102.3 FM, Riverside,
and 105.0 AM, Palm Springs.
Welcome back into the House of Mystery. And of course, I'm Al Warren. Who else would I be? I could be David Rose North Martino.
That's right.
See, you got a Rose in there today.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I need another name, too. Just keep going.
Keep adding, you know. Hey, you know what? Did you see the new eye drops that they've got, the FDA approved?
No, I did not. I don't need them.
Well, but they make you see better, right? Because you put them in, and you don't need readers anymore.
Oh.
Right? So people that buy readers, just a little bit. And it only lasts about 8 hours.
Okay.
But you put the drops in, and then you can read, and then, yeah.
That's pretty neat.
I thought you'd be excited.
I'm kind of excited. I mean, I need distance, too, so I don't know if that would work for me.
Yeah, well, don't read anyway, do you?
Yeah, reading.
And sorry, your guy from the Monkees died.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we saw him just in October.
Yeah. So you did it, didn't you?
Yeah.
My God. He looked out the audience and go, boy, this isn't worth
it. This isn't worth it.
It's just worth it. Look at the people watching us. Who's that guy in his dress out there?
Goodbye, yelling. Cruel world.
Yeah, and you're yelling and throwing your jewels at him.
That's true. That did happen, actually.
Yeah. Throw your underwear at them, and then you got arrested, and they have to stop the concert. You're an embarrassment.
I am. What is going on?
Just tell them you worked at Coast to Coast. You're not on this station. No.
That's right.
NBC, new broad champion. Anyway. Well, now, speaking of wild ones. No, actually, we've got... Today, of course, we're going to bring a writer into our conversation, and we've got, it looks like a first-time writer, so it looks like a virgin, and his book is called Witchfire. Now, this is very interesting, Gay Paranormal Romance. So let's bring in Austin Oakley. Thank you for being here.
Hey, that's me. Thanks for having me on, and be gentle. I am a virgin.
Oh, that's all right. I'm too old. I can't get that rough anymore. I have to wonder, when you write with this kind of category, you've got, you know, it's a gay category, but it's also paranormal romance. Does that affect the audience in any way? Because we've had a lot of just gay romance writers, and then we've had a lot of paranormal. I don't think we've ever met or had a gay paranormal romance on this. So you've kind of got, the beasts and the and all the paranormal stuff going on, monsters and magic, but yet you still got the happily ever after, as you say. So that's quite an interesting combination. Does that how do you find your readers?
I think that the gay paranormal romance genre gives you an opportunity to kind of subvert expectations. And you can kind of go as far as you want as far as having some creative freedom where you can take some characters that would be a little bit more fragile in contemporary genres and really stretch them and make them do some, you know, pretty incredible things. And I mean that in a lot of different ways.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I mean, there's a lot of sucking going on here. I just wonder, did you have a paranormal history yourself? Like, are you sort of into the paranormal? Have you had experiences? Is that why it's in here?
I am no stranger to the supernatural. I live there. I have a P.O. box. I'm a member of an HOA. And that's mostly, you know, coming from having, you know, these experiences that are unexplainable in some way that kind of drove me to, you know, looking for answers in, you know, folklore and mythology and, you know, spirituality. So those are things that I weave into my stories.
Well, that's an interesting, I find that fascinating. So when you put together a story, your main characters in there, where do you get your main characters from in a story like this? Are they people you know? Is there some of you in this or someone else or something? How do you arrive at choosing characters?
I think with every character, there's a little bit of me or someone I know. But there's also a little bit of like wish fulfillment as well. And like, you know, when you have those arguments with people and you walk away and like 2 hours later, you're like, I wish I would have said that thing. This is kind of the opportunity to do that, where it's like you get to be this character. And in some ways, it's kind of like, you know, role playing in a way that you get to experience all these different personalities and worlds that you build and get to play in. So it's kind of a mishmash of both elements from people I know and the things that they say and do and things that I find interesting in their quirks that make people feel real, I guess. But also just the things that I wish I could do as well.
Yeah, because I see you have the arrival of a handsome newcomer with strange tattoos. So you used me in this, obviously.
Well, I do my research.
I always ask this one. This is kind of an important one. So when you're bringing in paranormal, like you're bringing in werewolf or you're bringing in anything that's kind of been done before, it's been used before. We've all seen werewolves, for instance, or we've all seen vampires and things like that. What rules do you apply to that supernatural being? Is it just self-made yourself, or do you take old Hollywood standbys, or is there someone else's book or stories that you've taken and you kind of go, I like this. This is how I want my werewolf to be, for instance.
I think there's a blending of kind of the new rise of kind of supernatural creatures that we've seen in the last 8 to 10 years from different shows like, you know, The Originals or Vampire Diaries, Teen Wolf, that kind of stuff. But there's also, I kind of wanted to return back to some of those older stories and kind of classic Hollywood as well, of having, you know, actual werewolves instead of just shifters that turn into wolves, you know, regular wolves, which is very common in that genre. But I wanted to go back to having like these, you know, 8-foot-tall hulking rage monsters of, you know, werewolves, and kind of have that kind of counterpoint with something as sometimes soft as a romance or as gentle or as yielding as, you know, these emotional connections that you have in a romance.
Well, a lot of times, you know, paranormal romance, it could be very dark and sometimes very mm-hmm. whimsical or comical. And I was just wondering, it sounds like you do have more of a dark slant to your fiction. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I would say that my writing style leans more dark and irreverent, but also there's humor there, too. I tend to be very sarcastic in my writing style. And I think my writing is also self-aware enough that it can make fun of itself.
I noticed it says explicit sex. Now, for us old guys that can't read, because we can't see, are there pictures or something or moving? Is there something that comes with the book if I buy it?
no pictures. Amazon has some rules around that. But the pictures are in your mind.
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. And so, and with your werewolf and you don't have vampires. You have a witch, right? I believe in this. And
yes, there's a witch, a hunter, and werewolves in this.
So are you like Anna J. Walner? She writes these fantasies too, right? This style. She manscapes her vampires. Do you as well?
I embrace all different body types and levels of hair care maintenance.
Well, I think it's important, right? But I just wasn't sure if, I guess the werewolves are like bears, you know? Now, of all seriousness, so when you write this, it's the crux of this story. The main part of it, is it the actual romance itself? Is there like a love story to this?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, most of my stories, the central element is the romance itself. But I try my best, and I hope I pull this off, to write the action and adventure around that, or even the mystery, as a, you know, irremovable element of the romance itself.
Do you have a theme that, or something you want people to pull away from your books? You know, I was going to say something other than the, you know, so you have the basic story and you might have the hunter and you have this, you know, murdered people and you got, or mysteries and stuff. But is there something else you want people to pull away?
I think what I like to be perceived through these stories is that anyone can be the hero. Anyone can have this story happen to them. And especially like within Witchfire, we start the story with Landon Winfield, who's the main character, who is a country boy, you know, on a struggling family farm, who is kind of stuck in this, you know, life that he necessarily didn't pick for himself. And, you know, he's kind of thrust into the middle of this adventure and this mystery that's kind of unfolding around him that threatens the livelihood of his farm. But coming from a background where you don't necessarily see yourself reflected in popular media as, you know, like a queer person, I like being able to push these characters into the spotlight and give them a platform and a voice.
So if I understand that, so do you think that gay people in general are what do you think they are in popular media? Is that just sort of, or are they just sort of like a cliche kind of it's kind of a formulated sort of person that they put in these stories?
Well, I think at this point, you know, it's changing to a degree, which is great. But, you know, over the last decade or so, I think it's still very common to see, you know, the gay best friend trope, or, you know, these kind of token characters that are obviously not actually written by, you know, queer people themselves. So it's just an outsider's perspective of who queer people are. And a lot of times, you know, for queer people, even their, you know, everyday lives, their existence, you know, there are things that are kind of unspoken and experienced, but are kind of hard to pinpoint, but you know it when it seems off. So when you're looking at like characters on TV or in books, sometimes you can just tell that it's not written by a queer person because it doesn't match what your experience has been or other people's experiences that you know. So I think it's important to have books that are written by queer people for queer people, which is not to say that other authors can't present those stories as well. But I think it's important to kind of give that space for queer people.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Like some of the books I just put out were kind of centered around gay men that were murdering in real life. So they're more true crime. But mm-hmm. I think from a gay person, you could give them the perspective of what it's like being gay, like what it's like, because then we know what goes on in that world better than someone that just sees it on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that's important. Yeah. How do you find people in general? Do you try to go through publishers when you write stories, or do you just self-publish?
I decided long before I published to go the indie author route, just because I didn't want to have to kind of give over control of my work to a traditional publisher. And it is harder to get published when you're writing, you know, gay fiction, regardless of, you know, the subgenre. It's just a smaller pool, and there's, you know, smaller or fewer writers in that space too. But I also just wanted to be able to control the back end of it as well, and kind of control the messaging around what I was writing.
Yeah, you know, when you're writing gay books, it's important to control the back end. you know, just saying, you know, otherwise you never know where, you know, I won't even go there. So, I wonder now, so when you talk about, the things that happen to your characters, how do you decide that? And I should go back to this. So first, how do you feel about your characters? Because we traditionally ask a lot of writers, you know, what their idea of their characters are. So when you've got Landon Winfield and stuff, is he like a child, a friend, family? Do you have any sort of relationship with that character, or are they just sort of completely you?
They are more like people living in my head rent free. I don't know that I would call them friends so much as, you know, people that demand a lot of my time. but they definitely have a presence, and the more that they kind of hang around, they take on, you know, very innate qualities that I associate with them. Like Landon is, you know, a smart mouth, and it shows in everything that he does. And it's something that, I don't know, there's a desire there just to write about them at that point, because they become real. So.
Do you hear the voice in the head?
Yes. I very much hear their actual voices and what they sound like. And I actually found this out quite recently, that I emote when I'm writing. So like my face, I make facial expressions the entire time I'm writing. So apparently that's interesting to watch.
Well, I imagine, especially walking down the street.
Well, I was wondering, as a character, like Landon, or any of your characters, have they ever done anything that might that surprised you? Maybe they've gone off the rails, or refused to do something, or just gone someplace unexpected.
Oh, all the time. I have this perfectly planned, you know, plot laid out, and then they decide to steamroll it. So, I mean, there's scenes that were entirely, you know, off the cuff of, I didn't think it was going to happen that way. And then it took on a different quality. Usually I'm pretty good at predicting how a story is going to go, but the way I get there is usually different than what I expected in the beginning.
Hmm. Yeah. So now let's give the listeners. So what is the basic premise of this story now?
In Witchfire, we meet Landon Winfield, who, like I said, is, you know, this country boy from a small town living on a struggling farm with his mom. And it's a family farm, been in the family for, you know, generations. So it has a lot of sentimental value. And we learn that there's been a lot of mysterious deaths over the recent weeks of cattle on the farm. And it's something that they can't afford, because they need to.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Get, you know, these cattle to market. So it's dangerous for their farm. But then there's the mystery there of what's, you know, picking off these cattle in the middle of the night. And as he discovers, you know, another dead cow in the morning, we are slowly pulled into this mystery where this dark stranger shows up, who has these mysterious tattoos that send a shock through Landon whenever he touches them. And we learn that this dark stranger is a monster hunter, and that Landon himself is a witch, and that he has a werewolf problem. And that kind of kicks off the adventure and the budding romance between them.
Oh, so he starts to fall in love with them. And now, I noticed the cover, you've used my body on it.
I didn't know if you'd recognize or not.
Yeah, it threw me at first because of the face is different. You know, that guy looks a lot more serious than I do. But
well, when it's that perfect, you know, how could you resist?
Well, so are you writing this in a series? Have you got this plan to go further than just the one book with Landon and some of the other characters?
Oh yeah, it's a part of an episodic series, and kind of took some inspiration from shows like Supernatural, like the actual TV show, where I liked the fact that there was a different case every episode, and I really wanted to weave that into a larger overarching plot. So there's lots of things that were kind of left for Landon and his love interest Russo to discover in future books as they kind of go around the South, the American South, hunting monsters and trying to uncover mysteries.
Well, I'm sure they'll find a lot of monsters in the South. that goes without saying. So each book will stand on its own.
I'm writing them so that they can be read on their own, but they are linked together.
And How do you think the reaction is in the gay community with this type of book? Has it been good?
The reactions I've had so far have been really good. I've actually had more reactions than I expected. I kind of expected that I would launch, you know, book one and it'd be like, you know, a whisper, you know, in the wind. But I've actually gotten a lot of great feedback. That's been surprising for me as a debut author, especially.
Oh, yeah. No, it's good. It's good. The more positive you get, because as you kind of get around and out there a little bit more, there's always those negative Nancys that come around, you know, so it's good to build up a little bit of that in there. How do you actually decide on the events happening? Do you sort of live out some of the scenes yourself? Do you picture and write a scene in your head?
Well, I usually start, I guess this is a two-part answer, because I usually start in the plotting process just by throwing out ideas into idea mapping kind of programs like Lucidchart, and just kind of brainstorming what would be interesting, you know, what if this happened or this other thing. And then once I kind of have like the big beats in the story, then I start filling it in. But when I actually come down to writing it itself, it's very performative for me. I like to be, you know, in the actual headspace of the character when I'm writing it. And I usually will either put on music or I'll walk around and pace around the house like a crazy person. And kind of just have the scene out in my head and perform it.
Well, can't, well, there, and the explicit sex part.
Ah, that's a little less mobile.
Well, I was going to say, but you got to make sure it works. It's mm-hmm. right? You know, it can happen. Do you get really into the details of sexuality? Because I know we've had some gay romance writers on before, and some totally avoid it and don't mention it, and then others get more detailed. Where do you fall into that?
Honestly, I think when you're in a space that I can see either side of this, but for me, I think going into those details does a better service of what's happening to that character and what they're experiencing, especially like I mentioned before, when those things aren't as widely shown or, you know, demonstrated or, you know, touched on. I think it's important to give space for those things to exist. And I like to go into those details to touch on that character's experience of sex. That's very important to me.
Right. So are you able to just turn it on, as in, not the sex though. I was thinking more of the writing. So like, and I mean this in the way of like, some people can say, okay, well, I can write between 5 and 9 tonight. Like, you know, they're not working or whatever's going on. And can you just do that, like plan a couple of hours, sit down and write, or do you have to be in a correct mood?
For me, it is like any job. It doesn't matter if I want to write or not, or feel like it. I, you know, sit down and make myself write. So it is something that I kind of just turn on. It's like a muscle for me, in that, you know, I've had plenty of days where, you know, it just did not want to come out, but I, you know, stuck to the keyboard and made it come out, even if I only got 10 words. So I think over time you kind of build that muscle there to just write, regardless of whether it's good or not. You can always edit later.
Yeah. It's just getting in the habit of it. Do you also plan out, like when you write, like, do you know where your characters are going to go before you get the details of the book? Do you kind of map out and say, okay, this is, you know, this is what Landon's going to do, and this is how it's going to end. And do you kind of, have you got that kind of mapped out for a series with your characters already, or is it just right as you go?
Spreadsheets are my best friend. So I usually have scene list for every books, and then I have my overarching, what I call my mega plot. It is taking up a lot of space in my folder with lots of spreadsheets. And it kind of overlays what are all the small threads that are running through with different plot lines from book to book. And Otherwise, I would forget, because it's so easy to forget while you're writing all the things that have already happened in that space. Because it takes a while to write, and then trying to remember, you know, what happened 4 chapters ago. That was, you know, last week at some point when you decided it at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. It's hard to remember. So I make sure I write everything down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And not only that, you know, certain feelings or actions or sometimes something that one of your characters will say, you know, and 2 books down the road, you might not remember that. So, and some reader will catch it. So yeah, it's important to keep track mm-hmm. of that, you know? And so who are your influences? Like, where do they come from? Is it other writers, or is it, you know, singers? Is it, movies? Do you have any influences like that?
I think most of my influences come from TV shows and in the supernatural genre, like as early as stuff like, you know, Xena Warrior Princess and like these kinds of retellings of Greek myths and these new ways, all the way up till, you know, things like I mentioned, you know, Supernatural, the TV show. But as far as like authors go, I'm inspired by authors like Mary Calmes. She's another MM romance writer. And growing up, I was really heavily influenced by Amelia Atwater Rhodes, who wrote a really cool shifter series called the Kiesha Ra series. And it is such a beautiful example of world building that it's always stood out to me. And I've always kind of held that up as like the standard of, if you could build a world, this is how you do it.
Hmm. Well, you know, David's got a really good book out there where he's with a wolf. You might like, just saying, Wolves of Vengeance. Don't miss that book.
Thank you.
It's a good book, you know. It's like, what can I say? Where do you see yourself going with this? And was this kind of a plan that you had? Like, I guess we could go back to where you started. And what was it that actually gave you the courage to actually decide, well, I'm going to write a book and I'm going to publish it and put it out there for everyone to read?
I think you can look anywhere right now and kind of sense this urgency as far as like the state of the world at the moment.
Well, for the U.S.,
whether you're talking about like political climate, the actual climate, or, you know, the pandemic, things have really pushed me personally to, you know, focus on what's important to me and what I feel like I need to be doing. And that was putting a book into the world during all of that. that was really the big impetus to, you know, start putting my stories out there.
I was wondering, do you pull in anything from real life? Do you have any hobbies or activities that inform and influence your work?
I think there will be characters that draw more so on my own personal experiences as, you know, like an artist and a dancer and things like that. I don't have any experience personally being able to conjure fire to my fingertips, unfortunately, although I don't know that anybody in the world wants me to have that kind of power. there are things that, like personal knowledge that I think that filters into my stories, of course, but I don't think I've really introduced characters that are really based on my own personal hobbies or interests yet.
Except for the explicit sex.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And you got to get a cat in there. You're a cat dad. Just like David. There you go.
Well, I was going to appeared in the first one. Not yet, anyways.
Well, no, I was going to say, you know, being you're a cat dad of, I believe, of two.
Yeah, of two.
And I was just wondering if you had any advice about getting anything done, because I can't get anything done with one cat, never mind two.
I will often lay on my, like, bed when I'm writing, and one of the cats usually likes to come and sit on my back or my head while I'm laying there. Or they'll just lay on the keyboard itself, and then I'll have to move to my phone to write.
Yeah. That's actually just being flexible.
Well, yeah, that's a good idea, Dave. You have one. Yes. You can have them lay on your head. It'll feel like you got hair again.
It would. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Better than Hair Club for Men.
Yeah, warm you up a little. Well, that's really quite the, but I, you know, when you come back to the writing part, when you decided to write, yeah, there's an urgency. I kind of understand that in a bit, but did you, were you comfortable with your writing right from the get-go? Are you one of those guys that's just been writing stories since you can remember?
Yeah, I've been writing for a long time. I mean, I don't remember what my first story was, but I wrote a lot, you know, growing up, and a lot of my stories all fixated on romance, actually, because I love this idea of having a happily ever after. That's something that's very affirming and you know, feel good thing that you get kind of from Disney, I guess. But I guess writing all that time, I really spent a lot of time trying to hone those skills and figuring out what worked and what didn't work, or what didn't work. Yeah. But when I finally, you know, published the first book, I felt pretty comfortable with the ability to tell a story.
What would you say then to someone that hasn't published something that is interested, that they write? What advice do you give them?
I would say the best advice I could give would be, don't wait until it's perfect. Just get it good enough, because you need to get your work out there. You can always correct it later. You can always, you know, learn more. But if you wait till it's perfect, it's never going to go anywhere.
Right. There's got to be a point where you just kind of, okay, that's good, and putting it out. You can't keep on trying to make it better and better and better. Otherwise, you'll end up 60 years old with nothing out. Well, or very little out, you know. That's just... Well, so what's next for you now? Like, what are you working on now?
At the moment, I'm currently working on another paranormal romance that is a winter themed holiday romance that'll be out in the next week, and it actually takes place with another werewolf pack in a different state. But we'll be returning to the Hexton Hunted series in early 2022 for book two.
Wow. Have you got like Mariah Carey in this one too, the Christmas one, singing in the background?
Does anyone want that?
No. I mean, Mariah Carey McDonald's. Come on. It's getting crazy. But, you know, what do I know? So now, do you like to... do social media, or do you have a website? How do you like people to get a hold of you?
Anyone can find me at austinoakley.com, and that's where you can find any of my other links. It's probably easiest just to go there first.
Wow. How was the pandemic for you? Like, as in, I know it's not a good thing, but as in, does something like that, like something that's stressful and causing a lot of havoc outside of your door, did that sort of interfere with your writing itself, or does it kind of stress you out and you can't write, or how does it work for you?
I think in general, there's that sense of stress, but for me, my writing is kind of my sanctuary. I can kind of go into it and kind of escape things. So when the pandemic is going on, it's kind of easier just to kind of put my head down and focus on what's occurring, you know, in this little farm somewhere with these, you know, werewolves that I can take care of, instead of this big thing that, you know, is so much, you know, larger than anything I can, you know, really impact on a personal level.
Mm. Yeah. It's interesting because different artistic people have totally different responses to how something like this affects them. Some people are shut right down and others thrive, you know, they kind of get into the fantasy of whatever they're writing.
Oh, for sure. I know there's friends of mine, other authors that really weren't writing anything at all during the pandemic because it was just too much. And it saps every bit of, you know, juice they had. But I don't know, for me, it was just something to do that was other than focusing on the smoking crater of what was happening outside.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it can be stressful, but I think in time things all get better. You know, it goes back and forth, hopefully, and we'll see what happens. Well, certainly been amazing. This is a great sounding book, and everyone pick up this book. It's called Witchfire, and it's Hexton Haunted Book 1. And the author has been our guest, Austin Oakley. Thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
Thanks, Austin.
Tired of wasting time trying to decide what to watch on your streaming service? Go to our website and look for the Martino Movie Reviews.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.